scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So, should we get to it?
Let's get to it.
Let's. Okay.
Well, we have a lot to talk about.
Yep. Let's do some talking.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
How has life been for you up to today?
Oh, God. Why do you have to be so you all the time?
I'm eventually trying to one day tell the truth. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there, but I'm slowly letting pieces of myself out there, and then maybe by the time I'm 85, I'll look back and say, all right, that about summed it up.
Oh, my God. That means... Please interrupt me.
And now...
Say, where does a young prostitute get started in this town?
Our feature presentation.
This week has got to be over. You know what I mean? It seems like it's been going on forever.
Mexico's so wasted on you. You're not even tan.
How dare you?
Oh, my God.
I'm burned in bizarre places, like the inside of my elbow.
Are. Yeah, well done.
Kevin doesn't really tan. You know, he's got the two speeds. He's got the white and he's got the black. That's it.
No. White and bright red.
Oh red, yes.
Sorry. Bright red, like glowing red. And then that, of course, peels, and then it's just pure white again. It sucks.
So sad.
Yeah.
Well, you have put in a good almost a minute now.
And I'm exhausted.
You're chipping away at this week.
Woo!
Hey, you weren't here for the weigh-in yesterday, but I think you better go to the ATM on your way to the show on Friday.
Oh, please.
Yeah!
I think Beer Mug's going to make it.
Really?
He's down within 8 pounds now, and he's sweating it all out in the next few days.
Yeah. He's going hardcore.
How
much did he lose?
2.5 pounds.
What'd you lose? Another 2.5?
Two and a half. Really? So what's the most he's lost in a week?
He had one big week.
Six. Yeah. Uh-huh. And now he's got to lose eight.
He's eight away. I'm good.
In 3 days.
But you know he's going to do the thing like the fighters do.
I'm good. It's okay. Wednesday. We're talking about Friday, right?
Yeah. And he's exhausted.
We're talking about day after tomorrow.
Yesterday was really, really hard for him.
This is my perfect scenario. He's going to get close within like 2 pounds and then pay me.
Yeah, that's very possible also, though. But what's this Hollywood diet thing that you're doing? What are you taking, Muggs?
It's essentially just juice that you mix with water that you drink about 8 times a day.
That's guaranteed.
And it cleans you out.
It just cleans you out, right?
It's all the waste and water weight out of your system.
Does that mean you're going to be running to the bathroom every 30 seconds when we need you?
No. It's actually, I did it yesterday, and I didn't run to the bathroom I went, you know, every so often, but it's not crazy.
Well said. All right.
But how do fighters do it? How are fighters able to manipulate their weight 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 pounds if they want?
They have discipline, first of all.
They sweat. They sweat and watch their calorie intake.
And they only do it for a couple of days, right? They don't do it for a long time
because
they don't
want to
weaken themselves.
They don't do it 2 days, though, do they? I mean, Muggs has today and tomorrow.
Right.
That's it. I'm good.
All right. It's going to be close, though.
Muggs, you have your money?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, and let's just say this. Let's just put this right out there. None of this, I'll get it to you. Everybody brings their money on Friday.
That's correct.
Because the bet has to be paid that day, because then I don't ever want to hear about it again.
Their credit.
You don't show up and go, hey, I need to, I'll bring it in on, no, bring it.
bring it,
your
right,
money.
No payments, exactly. No payments.
All right, real quick, we didn't talk about, I wanted to save it for Death Corner, but everybody is insisting that we at least mention the zombie attack guy in Florida.
Best story ever.
Chewing the guy's face. Have you seen the photos? The photos that are allegedly of the guy?
No.
I wish I hadn't seen those, and I hope they're not real. I hope those aren't the real photos. I hope that's just something that someone cut and paste with the story, because it's rough, dude.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. A guy who was in a car chase that they shot while he was eating another man's face.
Right.
Those pictures weren't great.
They're not pretty. No, they're not. But, I mean, the police are shooting on this guy, and everybody's trying to get him to get off this guy, and he just keeps eating the dude's face just with his teeth. I mean, just like on The Walking Dead. So that did happen. And I was going to save the details of that for Death Corner. But when I saw that story, I thought it didn't get much worse than that. And maybe it doesn't. But this is close. Listen to this from Hackensack, New Jersey. This was yesterday, okay? Here's a guy who the police are called. He's 43 years old. His name is Wayne Carter. And he, neighbors say he's threatening to hurt himself. So they show up and he won't open the door and he's barricaded inside his room. They kick in the door. He's standing in the corner with a knife in his hand. They tell him to drop the knife. What does he do instead? He starts stabbing himself in the abdomen, in the legs, in the neck. He opens his stomach.
Ew.
Oh, dear God.
Starts cutting off pieces of his intestines to throw at the police officers.
What drugs is he on?
They are not trained for that.
No, no it is. They used pepper spray to subdue him, but it had no effect.
Wow, meth,
He's
Ben.
Cutting off pieces of his skin and pieces of his intestines and throwing them at police officers.
You just go, we'll be back in a half hour when you're finished with this project.
How do you?
You'd never get overseeing that, would you?
No.
No. And Kevin's right. There's no amount of training in any scenario in the police academy that you're going to be prepared to deal with that, especially when you pepper spray the dude and he doesn't stop.
This is going to be on Southland.
Cadets, listen. If people throw their intestines at you, here's what you do.
No charges have been filed because of the unusual nature of the case.
Well, he's insane.
Police believe that drug use or mental illness may have contributed to the man's behavior, but it has not yet been confirmed. He had been arrested in the past for aggravated assault and resisting arrest. But doesn't that sound – I mean, both of those stories, it makes it sound like it's end times, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's hideous.
People are just going berserk. Like, what's happening?
Stanley Cup finals are starting tonight.
That may be what it is. Well, he's in New Jersey. He could be Go Devils. Yeah. You don't know, man. Maybe he is the devil. Maybe he's being influenced by the devil. I don't know.
He survived that, huh?
Yes.
I didn't know you could cut your own intestine off.
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
Put you back together.
So,
unbelievable.
Whatever's going on in your life today, just be happy you're not involved in either of these two stories on either side.
I will be. Thank you.
Who's hungry?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Thank you for whipping the crowd into a frenzy.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Dan Heron. What's his name? Heron? From the Angels?
Yeah. Yeah. He's big time. Big time pitcher. Yeah. Talking about the upcoming freeway series. And it's a good deal.
How far are we into the baseball season?
About a fourth, maybe.
About 25%.
I think so. About that, maybe.
Stanley Cup Finals tonight start.
Yes.
King.
Right. What's the point? What's the comparison?
Not talking about it. Talking about the LA Dodgers freeway series against the Angels. A fourth of the way into the series. That's my point. That's all I'm saying.
Are you understanding his point at all, Lisa?
Well,
I'm confused.
How are we not talking about the hockey finals when you're talking about the Dodgers
25% of the way into the season? Well, pretty clear.
I think we're 99% into the Kings season.
Correct.
I think we're having the guys, we're having the guys on to talk about so people can buy tickets for the freeway series because it's coming up next week.
Oh, I see.
You going to take that anger back, mister?
No, that doesn't relate to my point at all.
I still don't even understand his point.
Bean, the finals start tonight.
Right. But what does that have to do with the freeway series is happening in a few days? And
how are we not talking about the finals when we are talking about the freeway series that happens? I'm not against talking about the freeway series. I'm just saying, how are we not talking about
it? Whoever you have on the Kings, we'll talk to him too.
We have Rihanna talking about Battleship. She really stole the show, I think, as far as I'm concerned. We have Chris Hardwick in the studio.
Yeah.
Talking about his Nerdist podcast live. Mac Lethal. I am very fascinated to talk to this guy. This is a white guy who raps faster than, I'd say, Eminem or anybody else that you know.
I haven't heard him, but I've heard he's amazing.
We've played, how many, Bean? 10 of his videos on our internet
a lot.
Roundup?
Oh, on the Roundup.
Yes.
I don't pay attention to that.
I haven't heard him. Destroying other people's property we're going to talk about.
Your story?
Probably.
King of Mexico sunk someone's jet ski over the weekend in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
Had to be rescued out of the water.
Lightning did that, too, one time with a brand new one. Wow, that's rough. We're going to tell you about a new college sport. It may not be new, but it was new to me as I was thumbing around the channels and I saw the college fishing championships. Major colleges like Texas A&M and colleges you've heard of have teams of fishermen. And they go out on a lake and they compete to catch fish. That's a thing.
There are lots of competitive fishers.
We're talking about that.
That's
today.
Ridiculous.
And we also apparently, what's the Blade Runner topic here that we have? Are they making another one?
Yes, they are.
Oh, wow. So soon. We barely got over the last one, and it's just they're bringing this one right on.
Right in our face.
So anyway, that's coming up today. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
All said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
That commercial came up again yesterday, yeah. But I was having major computer trouble and I couldn't pull the copy. I was like, thank God.
Delete. Is that what's going to happen every time it comes up?
Yeah, every single time.
Yeah.
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead. Terrorizing those for the bit. They had the pit.
Very Sandy close. That is very close.
Very close.
My cousin right
played
there.
It twice there, right?
Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:52. Ralph Garman joins us in studio now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat.
Jennifer Lopez may have been named the most powerful celebrity in the world by Forbes magazine last week, but Britney Spears is right on her tail. Apparently, TMZ.com says sources are telling them that she made it quite clear to the producers of The X Factor that she wanted more money than Jennifer Lopez wants that makes for judging American Idol.
Oh, it's one of those deals. Whatever she makes, I have to make a dollar more?
That's how they negotiated her contract.
Oh, wow.
Her rock bottom price was $13 million per season because Jennifer Lopez was getting $12 million per season. And Britney wound up with $15 million for the season. But
is that going to be a complete bust? You guys get the feeling like she's just going to fall apart or not be useful? Or
I think it's going to be a big disappointment, like a big nothing. Like, there's going to be a lot of hype about it, then we'll watch it, and she won't be very interesting or very bad or bad enough to be interesting, right. And it'll be just...
I heard she's just kind of nice, and except for the first day that she walked out.
She's kind of a dullard.
Yeah.
She is. And they may be able to mask that in the editing a little bit, but once they get to the live shows, they're sunk.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. J-Lo is now saying she wants more than Britney got for X Factor to return to American Idol, so that's her negotiation.
Good for her. So...
goes round and round. Tia Carrera got a nasty surprise when she headed backstage to her dressing room at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. A strange man was sifting through her personal belongings.
Great.
Underwear?
Yeah.
Great.
No, actually, he ended up with her purse, two iPhones, and a wad of cash that she had backstage. Police said they are currently looking for the man, but expect to find him buried somewhere in the desert by the mob. You don't steal from anybody in Vegas.
No, you really don't.
What are you thinking? Andrew Garfield is very much in love with his girlfriend, Emma Stone. And who can blame him? They're talking about moving in together. She wants to live in London for a bit, but Andrew apparently wants to stay in L.A., even though he was raised in London.
Hmm.
And she was raised in America.
Hmm.
Since he adores her completely, friends are saying he will probably end up following her to London and they will live there.
Where do you want to live? I don't care where you want to live. I'll go where you want to live.
He's getting rave reviews, by the way, for his performance in Death of a Salesman in New York. He's doing that on Broadway right now. Kevin, you remember that play?
Oh, that was great. I've never had a better nap in all of my life.
Poor Kat Von D.
What?
It's bad enough she had that fire in 2010.
Yeah.
It ripped through her home, killing her cat. The insurance company did pay out more than $900,000 in damage after the fire, but now State Farm is coming back and is suing her for to get all that money back.
All of it? Why?
They blame her for the fire.
What do they think she did?
Well, apparently she had a number of lit candles throughout the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When she left the house.
Okay.
And that was the cause of the fire, was leaving candles unattended in the home, lit candles unattended in the home. They are blaming her, saying it's her fault that the fire started, and now they are suing her for her carelessness and wanting their payoff back.
That's ugly.
That is ugly. And frustrating.
Wow.
Darth Vader is being sought by the police. As well he should be. He's a bad person.
He really is. He's killed a lot of people.
The cops should really look into him. He held up a bank in Ohio. Toledo, Ohio. Darth Vader stormed into the Huntington Bank.
Wow, days are getting tough for him, too, huh?
Demanded money.
Well, you know, they've gone through two Death Stars. I mean, those things are expensive.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, there's not much left of the Empire anymore.
Witnesses say he was brandishing a semi-automatic pistol. Apparently, he's given up on the whole lightsaber thing, and now he's just carrying a gun.
Can't afford the lightsaber anymore.
Then he made his getaway. Not in an X-Fighter or a TIE Fighter or any kind of spaceship. Mm-hmm. On a BMX bicycle. How do you not see Darth Vader hauling ass on a bicycle? Carrying a big bag of money. How is he not caught immediately?
No!
Cops are still looking for the guy. He's thought to be armed and dangerous.
But just barely.
Yeah. Use any force necessary while arresting him.
See what you did?
What?
You worked in...
What did I?
The force.
But what did I? Mila Kunis has said she is not about to dump her sweet Family Guy gig anytime just because she's a big movie star now. She's talking to AbsoluteNow.com saying it's the only place she knows where she can go to work in her sweatpants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do the job on location. Anywhere she is in the world, she can do that job. So she said the show's amazing and she hopes it stays on the air for the rest of her life and she wants to do it forever. So.
Seems like an easy gig.
It's a good time.
You ever do any scenes with her, Russ?
We don't tend to record much as a group over there at Family Guy. Everyone does their stuff independently. Seth talks you through it. You do record your lines, and then they edit it all together after that.
Are you sure that that's not only true with you?
No, it's true of all. I have been sitting there in the green room watching everyone go in one at a time and do their work. But the nice thing is Seth, who's directing you, he will read with you.
Oh, that's cool.
Usually, if you have a scene with one of his characters, he will read with you out of the booth. He won't record his side of it, but you'll hear it, and you'll be able to react with it. So, so most of the time, it's like recording with Stewie and Brian and Peter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I keep hoping I will run into Lois, you know,
Alex Borstein.
Lois, because she lives on the island. She's a neighbor of mine.
Yeah,
I've never run into her. Yeah, she does all of her Family Guy stuff from her house.
She tells me she actively avoids you.
Oh, is that what's going on? Okay.
If you're rustling in the bushes and then see someone running away, it's her.
He doesn't run into anyone unless they come through his living room.
That's true.
I do go to the supermarket. There is a supermarket on the island, so you do run into your neighbors there, but I haven't seen her yet.
Alex, who plays Lois, plays my wife in Ted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we are the parents of young Mark Wahlberg in the film Ted that's coming out this summer.
Can't wait for Ted.
And we've known each other for 20 years. We used to do sketch comedy together, Alex and I. She's a great, great lady, and so it's going to be fun.
Cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ted McGinley. Married with Children, Happy Days. The show killer, you know.
He is the TV show killer.
Ted McGinley, 54 years old today. Comic book artist Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He is 50 years old today. Tom Morello of Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine fame turns 48 years old today. Stephen Malkmus of Pavement, singer for that band, is 46 years old. And CeeLo from Gnarls Barkley and Goody Mob and that little flipper show he does where he... The game show where he has to try to press the button.
I can't reach.
Or they throw him a biscuit or something. I'm not sure how that show works, but he is 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Forget the freeway series that we were just talking about. Forget the Stanley Cup Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the NBA Finals.
Really?
None of that matters. Did you see the Frank Mir fight on this past Saturday night, Bean?
No, I heard about it, though. That's that was sad. I felt bad for Frank.
He got roughed up pretty bad in the first round, and the ref, the doctor came over and said, "Do you know where you are?" And Frank Mir said, Mandalay Bay, May 26th. And right above him, it said MGM Grand, because that's where he was.
Oh, my God.
And the ref or the doctor, whoever asked him, said, okay, good, he's ready to fight. And I was thinking, they need a doctor for the doctor, because he's not in Mandalay Bay. He's at MGM Grand.
That's hilarious. What? I know we don't have time here, but what so badly for Frank? I thought he was going to win that fight.
He's not nearly as quick.
Yeah.
And the other dude just beat him to every punch. It was pretty rough.
Yeah.
He tried to take him down once early, and then he couldn't, and then he just gave up.
That's too bad. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
So the reason you bring up all those other sports is to say they pale in comparison to what you're going to present for us. And I know you've been very excited about it since you first saw it last week. But this is college fishing. That's what we're talking about here.
How many times have you been flipping through the channels, and you come across a channel that's showing fishing, and you think to yourself, who would watch fishing on TV?
Look, fishing is one of those things that I don't do, but I get that maybe it's fun to go out and sit in the boat with your friends and throw something into the water and see if you catch something. It's a little bit of a thrill to drag something in. Yeah,
have some beer.
You're making a day, right?
Right.
I don't see how you can watch other people fish, whether in person or on television. I don't get the draw of that.
This is the Texas college championship of bass fishing. So if they win, they go on to the nationals beam. And listen to the excitement of the you know, they do the montage at the beginning with the music, and they present it like it is the NBA finals.
Yes.
Woo! Baby! Oh!
Woo! Get you one of these.
Get you one of these.
Got a boy.
3 pounds. Start the morning off.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about right there now.
This is college fishing.
Yeah.
Where are all those cheering people?
They're not there.
Because they would scare the fish.
There's no cheering. Yeah. There's a, when they weigh the fish at the end, there's, I don't know, maybe 40 people sitting in little fold-out chairs.
So like a smattering of applause.
But no, they sweeten it like hell with, like, it sounds like the Rose Bowl. They're so excited about it. This is the guy explaining to you exactly what's going on here.
20 of some of the toughest college bass fishing teams in the country have qualified for this tournament and are battling it out on Lake Somerville, just a short distance from our host school, Texas A&M.
Red do this, man.
Red do this. Red do this. Do you know they had a bass fishing club in a college anywhere in this United States?
No, I didn't.
Anywhere. This guy picked his college based on its bass fishing
really?
Record. And listen to him bragging about what it takes to be on the team.
I went to SFA because there's Rayburn and Toledo in their backyard, and I felt like those were two great lakes, not only to learn to further myself in the sport of fishing, but to make myself versatile to be a competitive angler against all these other guys. You know, I had to keep a 2.25 to be on the bass team. That's the SFA rule we have. So if I wanted to fish, I had to be good in school.
I'm not sure that a C-plus is good in school. 2.25.
And that was a challenge.
To be on the fishing team.
Why even have a limit, though, Bean? I mean, if really, if you're going to make it 2.25, you can't even go 2.5.
No, but I think that's the case for most sports, is it just has to be a passing grade. You can have a, you know, a C-minus or in some schools even a D as long as you're passing. Honestly, for all their sports. But I had can't believe there's any restrictions on fishing. I would think they'd be begging people to join the fishing club.
If I wanted to fish, I had to be good in school.
Yeah, you're not good in school. I got news for you.
The competitors, I think the important thing for competitors to, is to contain their excitement.
You don't want to get too excited. You might scare fish.
Not too bad. We got two in the boat and I'd like to have a couple more here pretty quick.
That's on TV.
That dude is pacing himself.
That's happening. Here's a high school student that joined a fishing club in the hopes of graduating and going to a college and getting that monster 2.25 and joining the club there.
Just joined the club not too long ago, and I'm excited to be down here, be able to fish.
I can tell.
By the way, this is half hour, Bean?
No, hour.
Oh, my God. This is one of those shows you come across and you realize there's an entire world out there that of people who do things that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, exactly. What are they going for in this particular tournament?
$50,000, the title of champion, brand new Ranger bass boat, but better yet, they want to go to the big dance, the college national championship.
Yeah, the big dance.
The big dance.
Sure. Now they're borrowing terms from real sports.
Yeah.
The big dance. Is that the Final Four? Is that baseball? Final Four?
Yep.
This is Texas A&M, and they are the leading team and the home team. Texas A&M, that's a pretty big school. They have teams of two, by the way. They have two teams of two bass fishermen. That's the entire team. And when they get up there to weigh their fish, boy, do people go crazy.
Texas A&M yesterday, 19 pounds even. Kyle Bates had a 9-pound, 12-ouncer.
Now listen to the color guy, not the play-by-play guy.
They're looking to make it happen again.
No way!
Kyle Bates, Cody
what
Collins.
What in the world?
What in the world?
What? What happened?
Just five pretty decent-sized fish.
How is this a sport?
Listen to that crowd going insane, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm not kidding when I say when they show pictures of the crowd, there's probably 12 people that are standing up and mildly applauding.
Very enthusiastically, though.
Mildly applauding.
You're going to need 16 pounds.
Listen to the music, the setup.
And 12 ounces to take the lead. All right, let's pull them out.
Let's do it.
Whoa! For 16-12.
You understand these people are looking at fish.
Mm-hmm. And they're not very happy.
Not giant marlin, but, you know, 3-4 pound bass.
Wow.
Something tells me you got it. 26
Joe, congratulations.
You want to follow him on Twitter, by the way. It's S, what is it? FLW Fishing.
I bet that's fun.
If you want to follow it on Twitter. Yeah, I used a lure today. You should try that out. I didn't check it, but if you want to follow it, feel.
All I know about is that over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, the King of Mexico sunk somebody's jet ski in Laughlin. That's all I know about. He borrowed a jet ski. I'll be right back. Ooh, not so much.
And
then had to be rescued
it.
Out of the water. Yes, yeah, sunk it.
Oh.
So we're going to be hearing that story from the guy who fished Dave out of the drink, by the way, and also we'll be taking your stories in about 20 minutes or so. If you ever destroyed somebody else's property, we want to hear what that was like, because to us, that's just funny.
Yeah, the more embarrassing, the better.
Let's talk about Ridley Scott for a second. Ridley is one of the great directors of all time. Of course, he did, he did Gladiator, for God's sakes. He did Thelma and Louise. He did Alien. And now he's got this new Prometheus movie that's coming out, which looks incredible.
Does look good.
Michael Fassbender and Charlize Theron. And people are asking him in interviews, hey, what about Blade Runner? A lot of talk about a Blade Runner sequel. Is that something that might happen? And apparently, it's something that he's seriously thinking about. They're talking about doing that. Wasn't that like 30 years ago?
I think it was wildly
successful, right?
82?
Yeah, one of the all-time great sci-fi movies. And not only is he interested in discussing a Blade Runner sequel, not only do they have this screenwriter working on a new story, but he says that he'd like to include Harrison Ford in the movie again. Now, Harrison was a young man when they made the first movie.
Yes.
What are they going to do with him in the Blade Runner sequel? We wanted to find out more about it, so we asked producer Dave, hey, can we talk to Mr. Ford? And sure enough, Harrison Ford joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Harrison.
Hello? Hi.
Hi, Harrison Ford. It's Kevin and Bean calling. How are you?
I'll make it in the morning and you've got them.
What?
Yeah.
Still got the whip, huh?
Yeah, I got my whip.
Yeah.
Do you carry that Indiana Jones whip with you all the time, do you?
Yeah.
have you heard from Ridley Scott about being in the new Blade Runner?
Yeah.
You have? Okay.
I'm going to go on that Rick Tinker. I'm going to spread it out and have a lot of strength with it.
I'm sorry, I actually missed that part. If you wouldn't mind repeating that for us, please.
A single word.
Yeah. Ridley Scott coming on. He's going to never really bounce in the Rick Decker. He's going to let it balance. And then I want to balance in the hell it's going.
Sure. Ridley's quote is not... Oh, all right. Who are you whipping, by the way?
I'm just whipping.
Okay. Ridley told the Independent newspaper, I don't think it'll be Harrison Ford starring, but I've got to have him in it somewhere. That would be amusing. That doesn't sound like he's
not very nice.
Necessarily counting on you.
I'm a funny guy.
I'm sorry?
Well, I'm a funny guy.
You're a funny guy.
Yeah. It'd be amusing.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
We're having trouble understanding. Can you yell? Would you mind yelling? I think it's a bad phone connection.
Funny guy.
I heard funny guy. All right, let me ask. Let me put it this way, Harrison.
Yeah.
Can you stop? Is there any way you can stop whipping?
No, I can't.
You can't. Okay.
I whip my hair.
What's happening right now? He's whipping his hair back and forth.
You don't really have hair.
I love that song.
You love that song. Wow.
You are going to be in your 70s when they finally get around to making this Blade Runner movie. Are you sure you're up for being in it? It sounds like there might be a lot of action. Is it, at some point, don't you have to, I don't know, just lay down?
I'm looking forward to it. And then I'm more energetic than ever.
You're more energetic than ever?
Yeah. Huh. Indiana Jones, Blade Runner, all the films, and again,
I don't know if you mentioned it, but Star Wars, you're Han Solo, yeah.
I love Solo. But I can't understand the old eminent, stunts.
Stunt. You want to do your own stunts?
Yeah.
I see.
Because I'm going to energy.
You are dynamic.
Yeah, I'm known and of human parallel navigators and banging bitches.
All right, I did. I wish I hadn't heard that.
Well, 6.7K, right?
I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you, please, to come home. Whoa, whoa. I'm sorry.
Does sort of sound like that.
A little bit.
It's world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Was that Kevin acknowledging that he knew a song from the 60s, Ralph?
Oh, he used to work in an oldie station. Osmosis. It just seeped into him a little bit.
I couldn't tell you what the song was.
Cecilia by Simon and Garfunkel.
Did sound like it.
Yeah.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday that feels like a Tuesday, Kevin. I mean, show at 6:53.
While we're talking about music, Lady Gaga, of course, famously did a song called Born This Way. That many said, that sounds suspiciously like a Madonna song called Express Yourself that I remember she did in 1989.
And those people were right, by the way.
Those
it sounded a lot like it.
Were wrong, 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 wrong.
Okay. Sounded similar to me.
Well, all right, maybe they were right. and maybe Madonna, maybe Madonna herself has acknowledged the fact that Lady Gaga ripped her off. She starts her tour tomorrow. Madonna kicks off her world tour in Tel Aviv tomorrow, and she's been in rehearsals all week. And someone snuck into the rehearsal venue and recorded this little version that Madonna apparently is now going to be performing on tour of Express Yourself. You might be surprised to hear some of the lyrics she's worked into the song. Yeah, she works in a medley of Born This Way into her own song.
That's
Express
funny.
Yourself. Yeah.
Isn't it nice that she's not suing for once? She's just working it into her own song.
Just working it into her own song.
Funny.
Yeah, so I guess she's acknowledging the fact that, hey, come on now. We all know, right?
It's only identical.
That's all.
That's all.
I saw her doing an interview on Access Hollywood with Madonna, and they asked her about Lady Gaga, what she thinks of her music. And Madonna said, and this is snotty, but also kind of clever. She says, it seems to me kind of reductive. And the interviewer says, is that good? And she smiled. She said, look it up.
Oh, man.
Which, again, snotty, but also kind of clever.
Yeah. While we're talking about music, No Doubt scored a major win yesterday. A judge said no to a claim from Activision Publishing asking them to dismiss No Doubt's suit against the Band Hero video game. No Doubt sued the company Activision in 2009, claiming they were never told that their avatars would be able to be used to sing other songs by other artists in the game.
Interesting.
Gwen Stefani, for example, apparently is not pleased that her avatar can be made to sing Honky Tonk Woman by the Rolling Stones, since the lawsuit says the lyrics are so suggestive.
What?
Oh, yes, that slutty Honky Tonk Woman song. That perverse song, Honky Tonk Woman. Yeah.
That's weird.
It is a weird choice. But anyway, the judge ruled yesterday that the jury should be brought in to review all of No Doubt's claims, and they might get a big cha-ching out of the whole thing. To which I respond, a little less suing, a little more releasing of albums.
Yeah.
No Doubt. For God's sakes.
I think that's a legitimate complaint that they have if they're... images are being used to sing other people's songs, whatever those songs are, though. I think they should be able to control that.
But especially Honky Tonk Woman.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that filthy, filthy song.
I mean, it is about a hooker, but I believe we've survived it at this point.
No, it's filthy. Blowing your nose and blowing your mind. Those are lyrics. Filthy.
That's so hot.
Looks like winning Celebrity Apprentice has done wonders for Arsenio Hall's career.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. And he is currently in negotiations for his own syndicated talk show. Daytime talk show on CBS, according to The Hollywood Reporter. That means he'll be joining Jeff Probst, Dr. Phil, and the doctors in the CBS daytime lineup.
Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
That's right. The people do love him. That's why he's coming back to television. Have you ever seen that doctor's show, by the way, on CBS?
Whew. Is that a daytime thing?
That is daytime.
Yeah.
And that is unwatchable. That is unwatchable daytime television.
Is it
right
just
there.
Doctors answering like questions?
Are there two doctors?
There's
on
four
it?
Of them.
There's four?
And they sit on these chairs and they just talk about stuff and they pretend like they have topics and guests.
Yeah,
and
I think
that isn't good for you.
It's just hideous on every level. HBO has announced they are putting together a new hour-long drama about a professional basketball team.
Okay.
Series will reportedly feature the sex, money, power, and temptation that often accompanies the world of pro sports, its millionaire players and billionaire owners, says the network. Can't we just watch that by watching Sports Center?
Just follow the news.
Talking about drama, by the way. I don't know if you noticed Terrell Owens fired yesterday.
No.
From his indoor football league job.
Uh-oh.
Where he was playing with the Allen, Texas Wranglers in the indoor football league. They fired him.
Wow.
For lack of effort both on and off the field, they say.
That's a few steps below arena football, isn't
yeah,
it, Ralph?
Yeah, the indoor football league is not quite even arena football.
Wow.
Dude.
He not only refused to play an away game, apparently, but was a no-show at a local children's hospital when the rest of the team went there to take care of some photos with some local sick kids. Apparently, Terrell Owens didn't think he had to show
up. That's a nice touch.
Yeah. He seems like the kind of guy who does not have a backup plan past football.
No. No, he does not, and that makes me laugh. Before I say goodbye for this particular Showbiz Beat, I want to give away some tickets. We have a special advanced screening of a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed at the AMC. Century City on Wednesday, June the 6th is when this is happening. It's in theaters everywhere Friday on the 8th. But you're going to want to check out this film. We've seen the trailer for it. It looks just hilarious. It is about a guy named Kenneth who claims to have solved the riddle of time travel. And he's going to be departing again soon. And he puts an ad in the paper saying, "Who wants to come with me?" Well, three magazine reporters look into the story and some unexpected results when they meet Kenneth. Aubrey Plaza stars in the film. She is, of course, from Parks and Recreation. Jake Johnson from New Girl also in the show as well. If you want to check it out, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through will get a pair of passes for our advanced screening of Safety Not Guaranteed. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ted McGinley is 54 years old today. Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is 50 years old. That's too many ninjas and turtles in there. But
that is, yeah.
Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine is 48. Manny Ramirez.
Aww.
Manny! He celebrates his 40th birthday today. And singer CeeLo Green from Gnarls Barkley and, of course, The Voice is 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
It's not my fault.
We'll be the judge of that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
In about a half an hour or so from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to be talking to this guy.
I don't give a about the money, get the fame, or any group who's trying to touch me. I don't even know the name, and I'm just kicking around to fade the competition because I'm sick of the sappy, heinous opposition, man. I'm paying, watch, or listen.
That guy just does that on the internet is what he does. He's the fastest rapper I've ever seen in my life. Why is he not famous?
I don't
Mac
know.
Mac Lethal joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Chris Hardwick comes up next hour. Right now, Dave the King of Mexico is in studio. Dave, how was your Memorial Day weekend, my friend?
It was fun, man, you know.
What'd you do?
Went to the lake, went to Laughlin, went to Lake Mojave, hung out, you know.
What'd you do in the lake?
You know, did a little wakeboarding, at least tried, you know, rode a boat, swam, you know, tried to fish.
Any other forms of transportation that you might have used?
Well, there is a jet ski involved.
Ah.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Listen, people.
It's not my fault.
Listen, people.
Yes. Well, here's what happened. A guy let me borrow his jet ski, and I don't know who he was. He was a friend of a friend of a friend. And, you know, I take my girl out, and we're riding, and it's a little choppy water.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go a little crazy and do donuts.
Yeah, of course.
Well, donuts didn't end up.
How'd that work out?
Not so good. It ended up with me and my girlfriend in the water.
Right.
And apparently, there's
your girlfriend could swim, but you had the jeans on, so there's no possible way you're getting out of the water.
No, actually, I had board shorts, right? So it was fine.
Oh.
But, you know, when you turn a jet ski over.
Yeah.
And
you turned it over?
Oh, yeah. It was flipped over.
You didn't just fly off?
No. It was
upside down in the water.
Oh, yeah. And for a while, too. So I was thinking, maybe we should just, you know, flip it back over because I don't want it to take water.
Sure, that's what you think. And then you try.
So we flip it over.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, but it was full of water. It was too late.
Oh.
It was
too
late.
How much damage, Dave?
Well, just think about your car engine being filled with water.
Aww.
And
so
not
all
being able to move.
Dude.
Yeah.
When the guy came up and said, "What happened?" Did you say,
"It's not my fault"?
No, I was like, "Dude, I'm so sorry." And he's like, "What happened? What happened to my jet ski?"
Oh.
"You're not allowed to touch anything anymore.
And you didn't even know him, really?
I didn't really know him. It's just a friend of a friend.
Dude.
He's like, yeah, take out my jet ski.
We are going to be taking your calls on you destroyed somebody else's property. Somebody lent you something or you borrowed something from somebody and returned it in less than ideal condition. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. While you're calling, though, let's talk to Kevin and Bean listener Jason, who apparently was on location in Laughlin and was at least a witness to some of the story that Dave was lying
Fantastic.
About.
Fantastic.
Witness.
Hi,
Jason.
He was my savior.
Yeah. Jason.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Good.
What did you see? What was going on when you came across the scene?
So I'm just cruising up the river or up the lake with my family in the boat, and I see this vessel upside down up in the middle of the lake.
Right.
And I look over at my wife, and I say, what is that over there? And so we kind of cruise over, and I see arms waving.
And is it a giant Mexican sitting on top of the shoulders of a little white girl?
Yeah, pretty much. And she's just freezing to death. I think her teeth are chattering, and she's like, I've been out here forever.
Oh my!
Well, we were in the water for at least 30 minutes before he found us.
That movie Open Water, though, where there was anybody within 100 miles of you guys.
Wait, I mean, you were in the water for 30 minutes?
Oh,
for
yeah.
Real? For reals?
Yeah.
We were trying to get the jet ski going, but you know when I actually got on top of the jet ski, only like the handlebars and the front of the seat and the top were above water.
Is that because you're heavy?
Probably. Yeah, that's what my girlfriend was saying, but I don't think so.
So Jason, it was just trash though. This jet ski, right?
Oh, it's like Dave said. Is just the handlebars were above the water, and that's about it.
And
what was cracking me up is he's trying to. They're going to try to start this thing, and I'm going, guys, this is not going to work.
Right.
The
thing
is, you know, a two-stroke engine underwater doesn't fly.
Right, but when it's not yours, you really want it to start.
I do.
Because you feel so bad. You're like, I don't even know this guy. Please start. Please start. I know the odds are against it, but please start.
You should have seen it, Kevin, because you know the jet ski keys are like on a latch on, yeah. So on your, to your
keep
life
it on
vest.
Your hand or whatever?
Yeah. I'm stretching, and I'm trying to put it on, trying to, you know, start it. Nah,
oh,
nothing was working.
Sad.
How much, I mean, is the thing totaled? Can it not be repaired, Dave?
Yeah, it could be repaired, but, you know.
How much?
Right, for less than the cost of buying a new one?
I don't know. What do I know about jet skis? You know, I can't even drive
enough,
one.
Apparently. Yeah,
I can't
not
even drive one, let alone fix one.
Jason, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate that, man. So,
and for rescuing Dave.
What happened when you told the dude? I mean, what was his reaction, Dave?
Well, I didn't really tell him. You know, when he found out is when we were towing the jet ski back, and he's like, no!
Oh my
He's going to sue you or something, dude. He's going to want to get
he
paid
should.
For that.
He can't find me.
He can't find me
until this interview. Right.
No,
let's talk
I mean,
to Matt real quick. He's on line 3. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You destroyed someone else's property. How did it happen and what happened next? Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
Well, long story short, you know, my dad gave me a 1967 Mustang. And it was when I was 18, and basically, we got in an argument.
Now, wait a minute. Was the 67 Mustang something that was like a prized possession of his and he had restored it, or was it an old piece of junk?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was originally my sister's, and my sister
Didn't ask
hated
that.
The way it controlled, so she just gave it back to him.
So, piece of
so
junk?
He's been holding on to it for a very long time
right.
to give it to my sister, and then, like, since she didn't want it, he was like, all right, well, I'll save it for my son. So, he ended up giving it to me, and we got in an argument, and, I go, dude, you love this car more than me. I hope I crash it. And he goes, you know, you're not going to take this car out after you drive away right now. So I book it, and the first ride I make, I completely lose control and just crash into this person's house. I mean, I go completely airborne. Don't even hit this guy's lawn. No tire marks, nothing. Crash directly into his house. I get out of the car. I run back to my house, which is only like 20 seconds away. I go, I just crashed into someone's house.
Oh, my.
Did your dad think you were kidding because you just made that threat?
Oh, no. He looked at me and goes, you just fled the scene of a crime. Run back.
Wow.
I ran back. And, I mean, luckily the damage wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Well, yeah, of course.
It was enough for me to pay off. But, I mean, like, I just got in a car accident recently before that by someone else. So I had a little bit of, you know, claim money to
Did you tell
with.
Your dad?
It's not my fault.
No, I'm not going to lie. I just, my head was, it was the complete shame thing. My head was just down the whole time.
Should have been. Should have been. All right. Thank you, Matt, for the call. We appreciate it. And by the way, just for the future reference, if you start your stories with long story short, it's never short.
and there's always no reason the longest. Ever start a story like that either, by the way. That's what you say when you're trying to reset the story because now you've gone in too deep. Just tell us the story in the shortest possible way. All right. 1-800-520-1067. David King of Mexico, you owe that dude money, though. You know that, right?
Not really. Because
how is it
why?
Not really?
No,
you
I'm destroyed
because
his
here's what happened.
That's
I mean,
a good point.
Here's I come to find out that there's this plug that you got to take out so the water leaves, mm-hmm. and he didn't. So
that's why.
That's why it. Because normally when a jet ski, when you flip it over, it's supposed to flip right back over. So without this plug out.
So it's his fault.
It took water. So yeah it's his
I'm
fault.
Guessing he wasn't expecting it to be upside down in the water.
Oh, I'm guessing he shouldn't have lent it to me.
I'm guessing that's true
that's what
as
I'm
well.
Guessing too.
I'm guessing that's true as well. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 when we.
Not my fault. Not my fault.
We've overruled that. If it is your fault.
Yeah.
And the message is don't lend your jet ski to other people. Remember Lightning, our former producer? He mm-hmm. did the exact same thing. Took somebody's jet ski, brand new, ruined it. Ruined it.
Jeez.
Guy didn't want to let him ride it. Didn't want to let him ride it. I vouched for him. Oh, good guy. Good guy. You should let him ride it. Had a mid-air collision.
Didn't you have some sort of an incident? This is the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. We're taking your calls on stuff you broke that belonged to other people at 1-800-520-1067. Didn't you have some sort of a deal at Coachella where you wrecked some sort of vehicle backstage and somebody lent you a motorcycle or something? Was there something like that?
Yeah, it was a little like a mini bike motorcycle, and it was old, and it was really, really in mint condition. They had spent a lot of time upgrading it and making it look exactly perfect, and then I wiped out on it.
And there was some concern as they handed the keys over to you to be super careful, yep. and this is important, and blah mm-hmm. blah blah.
And then
let's talk to Lauren to get us going here on the telephones at the Kevin and Bean Show. Lauren is on line 4. What did you wreck that belonged to somebody else?
We wrecked somebody's jet ski, just like the King of Mexico.
Oh, good.
Really?
Yes.
Did you say
it's not my fault?
Did you try that?
The guy was actually really hammered, and he didn't seem to care, and he wound up taking us out on his jet boat a little while later. So.
Oh, see, you must be hot. That sucks, because you know who's not hot? King of Mexico. He can't get away with
that. My boyfriend. He wasn't going to get any action. So.
No, but it doesn't matter. He was smashed. That's the key. If you're going to borrow someone's jet ski, make sure they're smashed.
Okay.
Exactly. Thank you very much for the call, Lauren. Let's go to Nick. He's on line 5, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Nick. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi. Basically, my story is that me and my buddies were playing paddle tennis at a beach club.
Mm-hmm.
I was throwing my racket really high up in the air, up and down. And there was a parking lot right next to the beach club. And the racket went over the fence and landed in the back windshield of a BMW.
Sweet. I like it.
Did you run?
I tried to run, but... the beach club attendants, stopped me.
Oh, you can't get away from a beach club attendant? What a pussy.
Look, he was playing table tennis or something. What do you expect? Paddle tennis, sorry.
Thank you, Nick.
Let's go to Johnny. He's on line 6. I love the wide variety of things that our listeners destroyed. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
Hi.
What'd you destroy?
Okay, back in the early 90s, I had a studio behind my house, and a lot of times bands used to rehearse there and record there. And I started with this classic Les Paul, a black one with the white binding. Nothing really special, but it was an American-made one. And one time I was goofing around, I was doing my Gene Simmons thing in the studio, and I lit it on fire.
You lit the guitar on fire.
I didn't know they go up that easy. It wasn't like I had a kindling under it. I got a flame gun next to it, and it just, went up.
Wow.
Was it just the paint on it? Or the... Wow, that's rough. And a Les Paul. It wasn't yours?
And it wasn't mine. I told him about it a couple days later, but he didn't believe me. I was joking. And before he came back, I tried to get it fixed. I took it to a music shop near my house, and it cost me $1,400 to get it restored.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah. that's a lot to have to pay just for screwing around pretending you were Gene Simmons.
Yeah,
thank you very much
yeah,
for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you, John.
All right, let's get into some big money items now. Let's talk to Rick. He's on line one. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What of somebody else's did you destroy?
Hello?
Hi, Rick.
What did you destroy?
I actually destroyed my ex-girlfriend's dad's Suburban.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were at the lake, and he was in the Suburban backing the boat down that was on the trailer, and he says, hop in the boat, put it in the drive, and back it off the trailer. And when I turned the boat on, the boat was actually stuck in drive, and it went forward and went through the Suburban.
Oh, my God!
Is that when she became your ex?
No, we had just broken up, and of course she thought... purposely do that and destroy her dad's car and kill him and her brother and stuff. So it got pretty ugly, but her parents realized that it was they took the boat in and they realized it was the boat's fault, not mine. But
all right.
You can imagine how I felt.
Yeah. Sure.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Harrison now. Harrison's on line three. Let's stay with the big money items here. Harrison, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. I also sank a boat.
Sank a boat?
Yes.
Because we were talking about a jet ski that doesn't quite sink all the way, but is pretty much underwater.
Yeah, how do you sink a boat?
So I was, thought I'd do my dad a favor and go down to his nice yacht and wash his boat with my friends and I about a year ago. And, one of us, the engine had just been pulled. And so the propeller shaft, which goes through the hull, was still, it was like zip tied in place.
Right.
Well, I think one of the guys bumped this propeller shaft, and we left the boat, and, we go home, and the next day I get a text message with a picture, and it has the boat underwater with the Harbor Patrol blocking the slip.
Oh, my dear God.
It sunk, but you didn't even know it?
No, we just left the boat, locked it up. We thought, oh, we did a great job. The boat looks awesome. We'll surprise them, tell them,
Oh, you surprised them. You did surprise them.
That's unbelievable. So how much did that cost?
Well, the story gets worse. Turns out his insurance had lapsed. So
I am speechless.
This incident ended up it's still not even finished. It's around $40,000.
Oh, dude.
40 grand.
And he knew you guys did that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's brutal.
And what's worse is that you're really trying to do something nice for him. You're trying to surprise him with something nice.
Yeah, this wasn't like you being dumb or drunk or super careless.
Well,
we don't know that
they weren't drunk
true.
Or dumb.
That's true. Yeah. It does sound like an honest mistake. Now, are you on the hook for that much money?
No, well, I actually moved home to help him with debt. So I, graduated and now I'm working and living at home. So
sweet.
How about
for the rest of your life?
Indeed.
Yeah, for the rest of my life.
Our friend the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick, joins us in studio in about half an hour or so right now. He's going to be at Club Nokia this weekend, and we'll talk about his unbelievable YouTube channel. Have you checked it out? Have you checked out all the stuff he's got going on, all the videos?
I've seen some of it, not all
he's
of it.
He's got a network. Yeah. He's got a network. He's got a Weird Al show. He's got a bowling show. He's got a magic show. It's insane what this guy's got his fingers in. Anyway, all that coming up. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's give me a little bit of our friend Mac Lethal, would you please?
I don't want to wind up in the gutter with a bottle of malt liquor bitter because I never got a call. But who the drinks malt liquor anymore? Give me vodka now and start. When I have another personal epiphany, I'm coming with a symphony, eliminating everybody, anybody. Roll up like a cannibal and bite him like a peanut butter apple in a minute. I'm a nibble on a pentagram and every single bitter lamb is getting so offended. I don't give a damn if anything. I'm in a planet coming with a visually integrated entity and everybody's going to get the guillotine. I'm getting cinematic in a matter of a minute. Every milligram is devilish. The Vatican will kill it. Dead.
Okay.
You listen to Twista, you listen to Busta Rhymes, you listen to Eminem, you go, wow, how do those guys rap so fast?
And then Mac Lethal comes along and you go, who are those guys?
The hell?
We have become a little bit obsessed with this guy because we always play his videos on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup whenever we feature our favorite new videos of the week. And Mac Lethal has been blowing us away for a couple of years now. And I can't believe we've never had him on the show before, but we're happy to welcome him to the program right now. Hey, Mac, how are you, man?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you guys? Thrilled to be on here.
Thank God. Well, I thought you were going to talk as fast as you rap and we were going to have to try and keep up.
Right. No, never. I only do that when I'm on stage or recording a YouTube video, so keep it slow so everyone can understand.
Please, I want our listeners to go, if they're not familiar with Mac's work, I want you to go to his YouTube channel, which is just his name, Mac Lethal, and look at these videos. And they blow us away for a number of reasons, and this is why we wanted to talk to you.
First of all, you do them, maybe not in one take, but the one that is posted is done without editing. You just set up a camera, like in the case of the pancake video, you set up a camera in your kitchen and it just rolls and you just go and you do the whole 2, 3, 4 minutes, whatever it is, without screwing up. How?
I mean, it takes about 100 tries, depending on the video. The pancake one, as you can see by all the extra pancakes sitting there.
Right.
I want to say about 150 tries. I mean,
Wow. Maybe.
I don't even know if I counted. It took 2 separate days, I'll tell you that. So
it would take me the rest of my life, and I would never get it right.
No, I would just give up too. So you're like those guys who do those crazy YouTube videos where they make the unbelievable basketball shots where they have to, hit off of a chair that's 80 yards away. You just keep doing it over and over and over again until you get it right.
Yeah, and then the one that you finally get, it makes it all worth it.
Here's another one for those of you that are not familiar with Mac Lethal's work.
Chris Brown broke up with Rihanna, so he's looking for another silly idiotic girl that he can beat up. I wish that he was man enough to get inside the octagon. I'm kicking him in the noggin like I'm Leo DiMaggio. Front kick to the face just by me throwing my feet up. Winking at Rihanna, baby, please show us your D-cups. I'm giving it to the man, the cake, so take it right to the pan. Your fate is imminent. I'm in a minute, you got the reefer smoke to re-up. It's done. That's done. That cake is done.
Wow. That's so good.
Is that the Nerdy White Kid Kills Look at Me Now? Is that what that song is, Mac?
Yeah, that's what that one's called.
And that's your number. That's the best-selling one that you have on iTunes. And when we first started watching your videos, we said, why is this guy not all over the radio? Like, why is he not a big star? And I didn't even realize until we did a little research recently that you have actually put out a bunch of albums, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely. Over the span of, I guess, about 10 years now, I've been self-releasing albums. I've had independent record deals. So, yeah, I've put out several albums and actually have a fan base that has been very loyal and supportive of me for a decade now.
Are you supporting yourself with this?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely.
I was going to say, if you're not, you're getting ripped off.
No. I'm doing just fine.
All right, good.
Do you do a lot of live shows? Yeah, I actually just did a tour in the East Coast, and it was the first time I had gone to the East Coast in about 5 years, and I sold out just about every single show.
So now, you say it takes 100 to 150 times to get the video right the first time. Are you able to then perform it live without messing up?
Yeah, and that's the good thing is once I actually finally do get it, I'll watch it, over and over again because I'm sitting there kind of watching the views climb. And, like, for instance, on this East Coast tour, I did the pancake rap every night and did it pretty much flawlessly.
Did you make pancakes while doing it?
No, I didn't. I don't have a stove that I can take with me.
Well, that's not as impressive then.
Yeah. But if I did, I would.
Yeah.
And I think that was the hardest part of the pancake rap was there would be times when I would actually get the lyrics right, but I would, like, leave the cake on too long and
forget
to turn it over. And when I would turn it over, it would be black on the other side.
That's funny.
So, yeah. So
I'm so relieved. This is the voice of Mac Lethal here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his unbelievable rapping skills. I'm so relieved, honestly, to hear that you're making a living as a rapper, because I just had this fear that you were a guy who was doing these videos in your basement and you were putting them up on YouTube for grins, and then you were, going out and working in a library or something.
You picked him as a library worker?
Well, or whatever. I'm just saying, the fact that if you weren't making a living in music, there was something wrong with music, because you have some of the most unbelievable skills I've ever seen. Now, what kind of reaction do you get from other rappers? Are you in touch with some of them? Are they fans of yours too?
Sure. There's actually a rapper named Tech N9ne that's one of the faster rappers, and he's from my hometown, Kansas City, and we are in talks about working together on a record deal sort of situation. And
yeah, but that's what we need is twice as much of this rapping.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot more of it. A lot more of it is coming. And if it makes you feel any better, like, I just did a thing with Heineken, this internet thing, and that was pretty much that. It bought my fiance and I a beautiful home.
Fantastic.
So I'm making fantastic living.
You
it's
should,
a great living.
You and should be. You're one of the people that we're very concerned about. We want to make sure that you're making you provided
I appreciate
us with,
the concern.
You've provided us with a lot of entertainment. Now, what about this Gautier beat that you use for your next song? Did you have to get his okay? Do you just do it? What happens?
Well, here's what I did is I I couldn't find an official instrumental release of that track, so I found a karaoke version of that song, and the actual instrumental music to that is slower, so if you notice, if you play the Gautier song, or Gautier, or however you say it, how you said it, if you play the original song and then play my version of the song, you'll notice that I had to speed up the version that I used about 30 BPMs. I had to, like, pitch shift it so it was faster because it wasn't fast enough for me. But I found some karaoke version of it on the internet, downloaded it, and that's the one I use.
Here's what we're talking about, Mac Lethal rapping over Gautier.
I could understand if you were just a kid, but if you're older than 13 years old, you better see these words and know exactly what the difference is. This one is a contraction, like you, apostrophe R, ready for action. You're at risk when the gym star slash your skin. You're an idiot like Kim Kardashian. This one is your possessive, yours, your beer, your gun, your mom's a whore. I'm taking it kind of easy on just being a couple samples, though. I'm going to give another example. Look, see, I don't give a damn about...
How do you know my mom's a whore?
Why the grammar lesson? This seemed like an odd choice for a rap song, the your versus your. Where'd that come from, Mac?
I mean, you know, it's just as odd as cooking pancakes. I like to do stuff that seems off the wall that I think will be interesting. And then here's the other thing. I spend a lot of time on the internet, on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Sure, sure. You know, it's the way people communicate now. And people have seemed, especially adults, to forget the difference between your and then the other your, the one with the apostrophe R-E, possessive and contraction.
Well, I'm sure
I thought it was time to brush people's education up a little bit, give them a reminder.
I'm sure that you rapping 400 words per minute will teach them that lesson.
Well, it's well known that kids learn best if they can barely follow what's being said. We all know that.
That's an astounding point.
You are doing great work out there in Kansas City, Mac. We are so happy for your success. And as I said, we have been admiring your videos from afar for a long time. We featured a bunch of them. In fact, we have this most recent one that we just played a clip from on krock.com right now. So people should definitely go and check it out, and check out your YouTube channel, which is just under your name, Mac Lethal. I'm so happy that you're doing so well, and we appreciate your time today.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it as well. It's an honor. I tweeted about being on the show, and my timeline went crazy. People are just so excited that I was on the show, so I really appreciate you guys reaching out. It means a lot. Thanks a lot.
Can you say goodbye to us really fast, Mac Lethal?
Goodbye, Kevin and Bean.
Goodbye, Mr. Lethal.
Have a good night.
Okay, I've got tickets to give away to the very special advanced screening of a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yay!
Very funny story about a lunatic named Kenneth who believes he can travel through time, places an ad in the paper looking for someone to travel with him.
I'll go.
Yeah, we wish you would. Three magazine reporters show up with a certain amount of cynicism about the story until they meet Kenneth, and an unexpected relationship develops between Kenneth and these reporters. This movie was inspired by an actual classified ad, by the way, real classified ad.
Really?
Yeah. Where he talks about, need someone to accompany me traveling through time, safety not guaranteed, which is what where the title comes from. Great cast. Aubrey Plaza is in this film. She's from Parks and Recreation. Jake Johnson, one of my favorites from New Girl. So if you'd like to see it before anybody else, we're having a special K-Rock advance screening on Wednesday, June the 6th at the AMC Century City. First two callers you get through right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get a pair of passes. If you don't win, don't despair, because on Friday, June the 8th, Safety Not Guaranteed will be in a theater near you, so you can check it out yourself. I think we're going to have Jake on next week to talk about about the film. This week we got Colin Hanks on. It's Friday, I think.
Yep.
To talk about high school. Mm-hmm. And also, he's a huge Kings fan, so I'm sure we'll have lots of Kings talk there on that particular day. Like today, we've been talking way too much about hockey.
I know, I hear you.
We got to pull back a little bit. It's crazy. Stanley Cup Finals are starting, and we're just all a Twitter.
Tonight, 6 p.m.
Yes, it is.
We were
5, I think it is.
5 p.m.?
It is, yeah. It is 5, yes.
Yeah. Kings Devils. We were discussing yesterday that we didn't think you'd even stop back in California on your way back from Mexico, Kevin. We figured you'd go directly to New Jersey.
You don't know how much I thought about that.
Yes, we do.
Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. Looks like her relationship with Kanye West is more than just a publicity stunt.
Don't believe it.
And more than just love, Lisa.
Yeah.
He's also helping her out as a stylist.
What?
Yeah, insiders are saying he is picking out outfits for Kim, encouraging her to be more daring. She was wearing a sheer black lace dress over the weekend with no bra.
All right.
And sources say that Kanye was the driving force behind that fashion choice.
All right, I'm with
him
then.
Well, she will certainly get more attention.
Great, she's getting whore tips. That's excellent. Because if anyone needs more whore tips, it's porn star Kim Kardashian. She's not nearly whorey enough.
Agreed.
I feel bad for Kat Von D. $1 million lawsuit filed against her yesterday in LA Superior Court. State Farm Insurance, the insurance company that paid off Kat when her house burned down in 2010, is now suing her for $1 million, claiming that it was her fault.
Don't they do the investigation before they pay the claim?
They did. They discovered that Kat had placed a number of lit candles throughout the house that were left unattended. They paid off at the time, but now they've decided to sue over Kat's carelessness and are coming back for their money.
That seems like BS.
It does seem a little shaky.
Yeah.
Of all people, insurance companies should be obligated to file their finding, decide whether they're going to pay or not. But once they pay, they can't ask for your money back.
Yeah.
Because you're certainly going to use that money to replace whatever it is that you had insured, right?
Yeah.
Right. That is not like a good neighbor.
But don't they?
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. He's tanned. He's rested. Kevin Ryder with a reference that was right and timely and made sense and funny.
How dare
Shocking.
You all.
Don't they literally have people that work at every insurance company and their only job is to figure out a way to not pay out?
Yes, of course. Deny, yeah. Well,
that's how they make a profit, by not paying you.
Now they've got a whole new arm of it where they pay it and then ask for it back.
Yeah, that's craziness. This is a little scary. Clint Eastwood's daughter, Francesca Eastwood, she did some performance art over the Memorial Day weekend, where she shot a video of her destroying a Birkin bag. Does anyone know what a Birkin bag is, Lisa?
Really, really expensive purse.
It is a high-end designer purse that women wear.
Yeah.
Wait, so her performance art was destroying it?
An online video of her violently murdering a Birkin.
Okay.
These can go for about $4,500 a piece, these.
And that's art how?
Well, she was making a statement about commercialism and about materialism. The video was intended to be a statement. Mm-hmm. It was shot and uploaded by her boyfriend, photographer Tyler Shields, and he taunted viewers in an online posting with, "Would you want this bag?" Well, women do want the bag. "Are you sad to see me destroy it?" also read on the video. Well, now Francesca's dealing with death threats.
Come on.
Getting death threats on Facebook and Twitter for destroying the bag.
It's not against the law to destroy your own property.
Right, but to do it, to put it out there and say, "Don't you want this, but I'm destroying it," is like setting money on fire, isn't it?
But it's supposed to engage you in that response. And if you do feel that way, if you get so upset, then maybe you need to take a look at what your priorities
are. She bought it.
To destroy it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Online responses range from, "You're a stupid whore, how effing dumb can you be?" to, "You should kill yourself, ungrateful C-word." "Wasted monies when families can't eat." Well, they can't eat a bag. I don't know.
No,
I don't know how hungry they are. They're not going to eat a Birkin.
Not going to help.
Might eat a Merkin, but not a Birkin.
One guy said this.
"Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
Yeah. Peace. So people want to kill her now. Isn't that crazy?
People want to kill everyone.
If you say anything, we were talking about, who was it? John Legend's model girlfriend.
Yes.
Who pointed out that Chris Brown was lip-syncing on the Billboard Music Awards, and they want to kill her now for saying that.
Yeah.
Can't everyone just stop killing people? Except for Justin Bieber. Let's kill him, right?
Yeah,
right? We can all agree on that one. Today's celebrity birthdays. CeeLo Green from The Voice. You notice that show is not called The Reach. He is not a star. He's not a star of The Reach. He is the star of The Voice. He is 38 years old.
I bet
today.
He was the last one called for every pickup basketball game his entire life.
Yeah. How does he get things off the top shelf of his house? That's what I want to know. He's got to have one of those grabby things with a trigger you pull, and it's got like a hand on the end of it, and you get canned goods and stuff. Kevin Eastman, comic book artist and co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is 50 years old today. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave is 48. And actor Ted McGinley from Hope and Faith and Married with Children and Happy Days and The Love Boat. This guy's just been on everything. 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
1 hour from right now, if you're a fan of the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, you're going to want to be with us because pitcher Dan Herron is going to be joining us. How badly is his life going? Last night, he's pitching 8 innings against the New York Yankees.
This morning he's talking to Kevin Abid. I mean, that is a drastic drop-off in excitement in your life, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly not going uphill.
No, it's not. So Dan Heron joins us next hour right here on the Kevin Abid Show, talking about the upcoming freeway series with the Dodgers. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, our old friend, the Nerdist himself, Chris Hardwick, joins us.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
I didn't pitch anything yesterday, so this is uphill for me.
You're pitching today.
Yes, I'm pitching right now.
It's good to see you, Chris. I knew it was only a matter of time before you quit fighting it and got into the family business, and I want to talk to you about a lot of things, including you bringing bowling to the internet. What the hell?
It's about time. It's about time. I don't know. You know, I do this little weird celebrity bowling show on our Nerdist YouTube channel, and it's just something. I love bowling. I love bowling.
Tell folks who may not remember, you grew up in a bowling family, right?
I did. I don't mean to brag, but I grew up in a bowling family.
Wow.
I know.
You win.
Were your parents professional bowlers or
My
something?
My father was a professional bowler.
Seriously.
My father is a Hall of Fame. I grew up on the Pro Bowlers Tour.
Oh, my God.
Well, you could never match that, right?
I could never achieve the greatness that my father achieved.
Right. When your dad is a professional bowler, because, you know, we all admire our fathers, did you want to be a professional bowler at one point in your life? Like, were you grooming yourself to make that your career as well?
Well, a lot of things happen when you're the son of a professional bowler. Number one, you learn how to get married a lot, which I didn't do.
Okay.
And then at some point, you're like, I should probably quit drinking. Those are the two things that happen when you grow up on the Pro Bowlers Tour. Other than that, I realize that pursuing stand-up comedy, like, I live the pretty much the same, like, on the road all the time
right.
lifestyle that my dad led.
Kind of grimy.
Except for without the bowling groupies.
I mean, which are, because there are no comedy groupies. Let's just make that very clear. But there's a lot of tail in bowling.
Sure. So this celebrity bowling, I mean, one week you'll go out with the cast of Mad Men, and then the next week you go out with the cast of The Walking Dead. And
yes.
You guys just bowl and just shoot the breeze while you're bowling, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if people have been really watching professional bowling for a while.
I can only speak for myself, no.
But, well, it's not on TV anymore like it used to be.
It's not. I think it's on ESPN now, but so we just get together in groups, and you know, like next week our last episode of the season is against Breaking Bad. So we went to Albuquerque and bowled against Cranston and Aaron Paul, and
he's all hopped up. Didn't he have an advantage?
Yeah, we bowled 300 games. We didn't sleep for days.
Hour.
Yeah.
How do you get him to do this?
The weird thing about bowling is that everyone, you know, even though probably no one is really public about it, like, everyone loves to bowl. And so when you say, like, hey, we're doing this bowling show, people are like, oh my gosh. Because when I asked Cranston to do it, he was like, hey, we put on a yearly bowling event for our crew on Breaking Bad. Why don't you just come to Albuquerque and we'll just do it then? They were already going to be bowling.
Wow. Huh. Well, I think bowling is a sport that anyone can do. No matter how unathletic you are or out of shape you are, anyone can roll a ball down a lane.
This is true.
That's why I think people like it.
Do you do it with the child bumpers up?
No, of course not. You don't. You do not see a lot of six-pack
Chris
abs
was offended by that.
No, of course you don't put up the bumpers. What is this? This is bowling. So,
what's your best game ever, Chris?
My best game ever? I shot 289 when I was 11.
Holy!
When you were 11?
I grew up in a bowling center. Yeah, it was
289.
It was 10 strikes in a row, and then I left a 10-pin, and it's haunted me for. And then I quit bowling when I was 13.
How much does it suck to peak when you're 11?
It hurts real bad.
I didn't watch this episode, but apparently John Hamm is an excellent bowler.
John's a good bowler, and Rich Summers a pretty good bowler, too, because he...
also for Mad Men.
Yeah, also for Mad Men. You know, all those guys from the Midwest, like that bowling belt, if you grew up in Ohio or Illinois...
Is there a bowling belt?
Yeah, that's where all... That's where my dad used to, you know, like, that's where a lot of the tour was, like, you know, like Akron, Ohio, and Illinois, and Cincinnati, like that whole strip of America was a hardcore bowling.
If you're just tuning in...
you have not lost your mind.
We're not talking about bowling for bowling's sake. We're talking to Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist, who has a YouTube channel and does bowl with TV casts.
I mean, what happened? I think what's fun about the show is that we bowl the way that people actually go bowling, which is you just kind of screw around and make fun of your friends and, you know,
have a few drinks.
Yeah.
All right, so the bowling, I mean, that caught my eye when I first saw your announcement a couple of months ago about the YouTube channel. And I'm very excited about this, in all seriousness, Chris, because, I mean, why are you laughing, Kevin? I'm serious.
Chris isn't that excited about it.
No, I'm excited because we are getting to the point now where internet and television are merging. We've been seeing this coming for a long time. And what Chris has essentially done is he has created a television network that's not on TV. Where you have lots of stars and lots of shows, and people can tune in and watch them whenever they want. You got Weird Al doing his interview series one day. You've got this show, 4 Points, for instance, which is kind of just like an Attack of the Show, basically. Yeah. It's just people sitting around talking about geek stuff. Harry Knowles has a show.
Neil Patrick Harris is doing a show for us with the Henson puppets, and Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And
I mean, you got a ton of shows. I mean, you must have 10 shows or something like that, and they're up all the time. You got millions of people watching. I mean, it's actually kind of exciting.
Did you become a mogul since the last time?
If that's true, then it's with a small M and quotation marks. And maybe you would only use that word ironically. I don't know. You know, YouTube started this initiative where they gave out allocations of funds to a handful of people to create channels.
Right.
You know, it's sort of looking ahead to like my friend Felicia Day got this, that does a great channel called Geek and Sundry, and Will Wheaton does a show on that, and Veronica Belmont. And so, like, you know, we're all just kind of creating the kind of programming that we're passionate about that we want to see.
And say, we want you to create a YouTube channel. And then you said, I'd like to go bowling with TV cast. And then they said, what else you got?
We pitched. They were like, no, really. We pitched to them. Like, we pitched. You know, we partnered. The Nerdist Channel is a partnership between us and the Jim Henson Company and Broadway Video, which is Lorne Michaels' company.
Wow.
And so, you know, we have productions on the East Coast and the West Coast, and Harry Knowles' show is in Austin, and we have a show in Japan.
But these shows, I mean, this is not a guy in his living room. I mean, these shows have real sets and real production values. That's what I've noticed about them.
We're trying to convince people that YouTube is a place where you don't just see cats jumping into whipped cream, which is awesome.
Yeah, not that there's anything
I'm not saying
wrong
that's
with that.
Not awesome, but there's more. And, you know, particularly if Apple does unveil, you know, I was reading today that they might unveil the SDK for their Apple TV set at their Worldwide Developer Conference next month. Once it is as simple as, you know, just pushing one button on your television set to get the internet on your television set,
the game
is going to change dramatically.
Yeah. And you're going to be the biggest mogul in the world.
Oh, God, I hope so. I just want to touch a boob. There's one boob.
You're not going to get it bowling.
There was a time where it was different in people's minds whether a show was on ABC or was on AMC, and now there's no difference anymore. You don't care what channel has Mad Men and what channel has, you know, whatever show you want over here. You just watch whatever you want to watch. Cable, it all blends together. The same thing is happening with the internet. Well, that's what's super exciting.
I mean, essentially, there are two cables that come into your home and do pretty much the same thing, and those are going to merge, and you know, and hopefully we'll be sort of on the forefront of it.
Great. Well, we want to talk some more about this because we didn't get a chance to talk about your magic channel, which I am also fascinated with. That's all on the YouTube Nerdist channel. Chris Hardwick is here in studio. You can see him on stage this Saturday night at Club Nokia. Tickets on sale now for a 7:30 show Saturday night with some special guests. We'll talk more about that when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Former K-Rock DJ Chris Hardwick in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's been a number of years ago, huh?
106.7 K-Rock, KROQ.
Hey, were you fired from K-Rock or did you quit?
Was I fired? No. The actual story of what happened was that I was on the overnight shift from 95 to 98.
Those were the best years.
that was actually a really good time. That was a really fun time to be at K-Rock. Yeah. I loved it. And I really wanted to work days, and Kevin Weatherly would never put me on days.
Nope.
And
he heard your show.
He heard my show, and then he was like, "That's we'll just put you when we don't track ratings." But
you're showing him with your magic show.
Chris is on stage at the Club Nokia this Saturday night at 7:30 with special guest Jonah Ray, also Matt Myra, and a musical guest to be announced later. But this Nerdist channel is taking off big time, and I promised that we'd talk about your magic show because Kevin is mocking me. But this kid, he's doing the stuff that we used to admire so much, Kevin, that David Blaine used to do on those TV specials where he would just do that street magic where he just blows your mind.
Right, and then
he started
people. Yeah, and you see
just their minds would just explode.
How did you find him, Chris?
Well, he's I first met Justin from doing the college circuit, like doing stand-up in the college circuit, and Justin was doing magic at the colleges, and he's just a really sweet guy and not not super magician-y in the sense.
Which is good.
and he's just a regular guy who happens to be an unbelievable magician. And people mock, like, you can mock magicians all you want, but when you see a really good one, you're like, how did you do that? Like, you turn into this weird, you descend into your lizard brain, and you're just like, how you do that? You hurt brain. And that's his magic.
I less understand people who decide to go into magic for a career than I do people who go into bowling for a career. I mean, like, how do you ever make the decision? Yep, that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to be a magician.
You don't decide. It chooses you.
It chooses you. Yeah, like Bean says, it's, that's a tough sell. No matter how good you are, you're a magician.
But that's the thing that's been fun about the YouTube channel is that we're doing stuff that, and it's working, but if I had ever pitched a bowling show to television, they would have been like, no, really.
Right.
But, you know, it's I think it's all about this idea that we make stuff that we love, that we're passionate about, that doesn't get screwed with by a bigger organization. And, you know, we don't have to appeal to 20 million people.
Yeah, you have millions of views on the videos and 100,000 people who subscribe to all of it. So, I mean, that's a sizable audience. I mean, considering you've only been up for a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
This guy, though, Kevin, he walks into a Starbucks and walks over to a guy and puts a piece of paper over the mouse that he's working with on his on the table there at the Starbucks.
Right.
And then pulls the piece of paper away, and his computer mouse is gone, and it's been replaced by a real mouse.
And then the health department puts an F on the Starbucks.
That's the type of thing he does, and you just look at it and go, what?
It is pretty shocking. And he does a live show at our space at Meltdown Comics, and it's there's no camera trickery. It's insane what
it's
he does.
Real. Yeah,
it's insane.
It's well, you can see all of these videos and more at the Nerdist YouTube channel. Chris, I know you're doing Saturday night at Club Nokia. We probably won't see you before Comic-Con this year, but what kind of big plans do you have for that, if you know yet?
Oh, yes, I do. We're doing a big show the Friday night of Comic-Con at the Balboa Theater. We're doing a Nerdist podcast. I'm moderating a bunch of panels. We're doing our lightsaber run for 5 days leading up to Comic-Con. Course of the Force. It's basically an Olympic torch style lightsaber relay that starts in Santa Monica and ends preview night of Comic Con.
Every That's single great. Thing you do sounds like you're lying.
I know.
And it's a cartoon. And
it is
just
a sham.
What's happening?
Yes, we partnered with Lucasfilm.
You know how people say learn to make money at what you love? Chris Hardwick really has done that better than anyone I've ever met.
To heart, yeah.
I'll show you money.
Have you met George Lucas, by the way?
I've not met George Lucas, but I've been to Skywalker Ranch, and it's unbelievable.
That's pretty strong.
They took us into this warehouse where it was original everything, like the original droids, original mock-ups for Jabba the Hutt that didn't get used.
How much time did you spend trying to figure out what you could whisk away out it was of there? How like much you this, put in your pocket?
The second we walked in, my business partner Peter and I, they looked at us and they were like, hands in your pockets. Like, they knew that we were, like, the original Yoda. There was, like, all of the, like, Temple of Doom stuff there. Like, the original matte paintings from Star Wars, which they did on shower doors because it was the correct aspect ratio. I mean, I was hard not to cry.
You have never stopped masturbating to that memory.
I'm doing it now.
Oh, wow.
What is one more Comic-Con question? Because every year it seems like there's something that everybody is talking about. I can't wait to see at Comic-Con. Is there a big movie or a big reveal or big announcement or anything that's happening this year?
There's probably like 10. I'm getting a dossier very soon on the.
You said that correctly.
Thank you. I don't know exactly yet what all the big announcements are going to be,
it'll be here before we know it.
It will. I mean, I can't believe it's already been a year since the last Comic-Con. That's my Christmas, so that's how I each
sure,
year.
Sure.
Exactly.
Put up a tree.
Yep.
All right. Get your tickets for Club Nokia this Saturday night at 7:30. Available through Ticketmaster.com with Jonah Ray, Matt Myra, and as you said, special musical guest. It's going to be a live on-stage podcast taping with our friend Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist. Chris, always great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
I love you guys.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:41.
Yeah, you get your money's worth out of listening to that song on our show. That's for sure. It seems like Sometime last year, Ralph came in on the Showbiz Beat and he said, guys, it's the end of the world as we know it. They're making a movie about the game Battleship. And we said, Battleship, the game you play when you're a kid where you call out E70, you suck my battleship. They're turning that into a movie. He said, yes.
I'm going to say this again at the risk of being mocked again. It was pretty good.
I liked it. Sorry, Lisa.
Let's get Lisa involved.
It's really not based on the board game. They just took the name, right?
But my point is we all laughed because why are they making Battleship a movie? But here we are in May of 2012, and not only is it out there, it's a huge hit. The thing has made almost $300 million worldwide already, Battleship. And that's pretty good if you're a first-time actor like Rihanna, who made her movie debut in this film and joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Rihanna. Welcome back to the show, my dear. How are you?
Oh, that's right. Wouldn't I see you with the book?
So
let me tell you, it I waited that go while we didn't meet Michi Siri.
All right, you lost me there. How did you decide? I mean, you've been a popular singer and very popular with your own videos for a number of years now. How did you decide to make the jump to acting, and why did you choose this film to be the one?
Many times you saw the right time when I sing me song, it's the umbrella. You know, it's the bandy rhythm. No, Tommy, look at that. She be the actor, the crank, that cranny craft, Lulucha with the crab up the cheddar. No, say that, that shatter, that umba rakatumbo.
I didn't understand any part of that.
I know, it's the right thing. You see, they got the island style with their blood clot.
All right, I heard blood clot there.
Right.
You don't have a lot of dialogue in the film, though. I mean, I guess that's good for a first-time actor. I mean, most of your acting in this thing is one or two words at a time, right?
It's right, Ima. No, say what be the big run. No, can that see me get under the script? I look at I say, look, boom. No, say fire. No, say but the rukuto, but the chasing by higher. No, say but no higher marakudumbo near the beach.
You know what's weird, Rihanna, is that when you're talking in the movie, we can understand what you're saying. Let me just play a clip. This is you from Battleship.
My dad said they'd come. Said it my whole life. He said one day we'd find them or they'd find us. You know what else he said? He said, hope I ain't around when that day comes.
Oh, nice. How come you can't talk like that to us?
I say, but Rin who talk about Handumba. So when the director, he said to me, Usa, action. Me Rihanna say, my dad say they come. He said them a whole life. I said, put a rocket on board. No, sir, can I? Me put the lime in the coconut, shake them both up.
I did get that part. What about this famous line that I imagined was difficult to make not sound ridiculous? Play the clip from Battleship that everybody will know Rihanna from.
Mahalo, mother.
Nope, that's not it. We don't have it.
That's the one.
Oh, that's the one? Okay.
That's the one,
where she says, boom.
No, that's your line. Mahalo, mother effer.
Hey, what's wrong with Kevin, man?
I don't know, Rihanna. Songs are running out. You can't keep track of the internet.
Back in Barbados, we call a guy like Kevin. We say, hey, retarded man. Hey, you're drinking too much rum.
Now we can understand
rum, man.
How come we can understand you so well now?
How come I can understand you, retard?
Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday.
Woo! Woo! Why not? It's America, right, Bean?
That's right, man. Hey, where is Doto? Are you talking to Doto lately?
Yeah. Where is he?
I think he's Hong Kong.
Coming home
he
soon?
Is. Good.
He's coming on soon.
F*** that guy. What would he need him for?
All right.
Coming home soon. He's the international man of mystery. We never know where he is.
He's Guam, right?
I'm China, Kevin and Bean.
Some ugly news today. From the cast of Lost, one of our favorite TV shows around here the past couple of years, someone recently brought up to Dominic Monaghan of Lost.
Charlie
on that show. Why Matthew Fox, who played
Jack
on that show, why he wasn't on Twitter. And can you get Matthew Fox on Twitter, please? Because I love him and like to have him on Twitter. Well, a guy responded, Dominic Monaghan, that he was not friends with him.
Oh.
And said that that he didn't want him on Twitter. And then the fan asked, well, what about all the good times you guys had together? And then this is what the response was from Dominic Monaghan. How do you know we ever did? You don't know either of us. He beats women.
Whoa!
Not isolated incidents. Often not interested.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
allegedly, he says.
Well, that's what someone responded with. You know, you're making an accusation, an alleged accusation about this guy, and that's not really right. And he responded, an accusation is when you claim someone did something wrong. I know.
Whoa.
But hey, little fangirl, maybe you want to get slapped.
That guy. What would he need him for?
So, no love lost between Matthew Fox and Dominic Monaghan.
Wow.
That's ugly, whether it's true or false. It's ugly either way.
Some sort of a story with Matthew Fox where he was arrested for something?
He tried to get on a party bus in Ohio back in summer of 2011, and the female bus driver accused Matthew Fox of hitting her in the breast, groin, arm, and legs.
That's right. That's
before
right.
she knocked his ass out.
Good for her.
So maybe that's what he's referring to. Or maybe there's something more insidious or darkening going on there. But either way, sad news. Because I thought Charlie and Jack were friends, man.
Yeah.
What about Hurley? Next thing you know, Hurley's going to be touching puppies inappropriately or something. We're going to find some evil news about the rest of the cast. And that Jacob, I know him. He's bad. He kept all that light at the bottom of the well where that waterfall was for himself all the time.
We can't go back there, Rob. Yeah, just can't.
Come on, remember? And then
we do remember.
Hurley.
Hurley's on Alcatraz now.
No, he's not. Oh. Not anymore. Nobody's on Alcatraz
anymore. That's done, huh?
I was trying to think how it ended. It ended like a year ago today. Or not
yeah,
year
it
ago,
was a
today,
well,
recently.
Some kind of a...
But Hurley was left behind to guard the island, I remember.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He wasn't in the church when they all showed up?
Along with Ben.
Dead or whatever?
I don't know. Ben Linus.
I don't know what happened.
All right. A lot of preoccupation over Silence of the Lambs. Why so soon, we all ask?
Mm-hmm.
NBC has decided to do a spin-off of the movie, starring Hugh Dancy as an FBI profiler. This is their Hannibal Lecter series.
Okay.
Now, Lifetime has announced they are developing a drama about Clarice Starling, the character originally played by Jodie Foster in the movie. There's no word on yet on which actress will play Clarice. So you're going to have dueling Silence of the Lambs TV series.
It's weird how often this happens.
It is, very much so. NBC has picked up yet another singing competition show.
All right.
Come on.
Need more.
We don't need it anymore.
Yeah, don't need more. That's what
didn't they just cancel the sing-off? That one just left.
There was a gaping hole that just needed to be filled by another singing competition
isn't
show.
Isn't there a duets now or something like that?
There's duets. I believe that's on ABC.
Well, let's stop this.
But the NBC has The Voice, and they've got America's... Next Top Talent, Got Talent.
That's not a show. Think that's not a real show.
America's Got Talent. That's theirs.
That is.
Now they're adding The Winner.
That's the name of this song? This competition?
The Winner will be produced by the same people who do The Voice. Top prize will be $1 million. But here's the twist. You know, you got to have a twist.
Right.
According to Daily Variety, the show will let singers negotiate with their opponents over whether they'll leave the competition for a smaller sum.
So they...
Like, let's make a deal. If I win the million, I'll give you $200,000 to leave the competition right now. And you negotiate with your other competitors to see if you can buy some people off to buy your way to the top and become the winner. So by the time you're the winner and that $1 million prize is yours, I'm guessing you don't get to keep all of it because you've had to...
Get like $10.
Pay some people off.
That's a terrible idea.
But you're the winner.
Right.
Coming this fall on NBC.
Not interested.
Come on.
Too many of those shows.
Way too many of those shows.
And I'm not sure there's that much talent in America, you guys.
No, they're already out, by the way. American Idol has bled that vein dry.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They can't even find a star season after season on American Idol.
And it's getting less and less competitive, less and less interesting. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. CeeLo Green, talking about NBC and The Voice. He's over there, trying to reach that button.
It's kind of cruel how far away they put the button, isn't it?
If you put him on his back, is he just like a turtle? Is he just like rock back and forth?
I think so.
His arms just flapping. He is 38 years old today.
We should ask Carson next time we see him if they have to hand CeeLo a lot of stuff because he can't reach it.
Did he get heavy and so his body just got bigger and just outgrew his arms?
He's always had those little velociraptor stumps.
Huh. He looks like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade balloon.
Michelin Man. Tom Morello of Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine is 48 years old today. Kevin Eastman, comic book artist and co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, turns 50 today. And actor Ted McGinley from Married with Children and Happy Days and The Love Boat and Hope and Faith and just a long, long line of TV series. He is 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Thanks a lot for listening today. Here, yesterday, we talked to Andre Ethier from the Los Angeles Dodgers about the upcoming freeway series, Dodgers Angels. That's going to be June 11th through the 13th at Dodger Stadium. Today, Dan Heron joins us from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Hey, Dan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you. You can go to Farmer John's Facebook page and like it and be entered to win a VIP day at the ballpark plus an on-field workout with Dan Heron himself. You get a chance to work out right next to the man. Dan, you must be feeling pretty good today after beating the Yankees last night. I can't even imagine what it's like to be a guy playing baseball for a living and then to go out there and beat the New York Yankees. You must feel like a little kid all over again when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, you know, when the Yankees come into town, it's always fun. You know, the crowds are crazy. You know, the best part about it, I had a lot of family at the game and, you know, get to celebrate a little bit after with them. And, you know, it's absolutely a lot of fun.
What goes through your mind when you're pitching? Are you 100% concentrating on the game, or do you look around and see people in the stands? Or are you thinking about what you've got to do the next day or over the weekend or thinking about vacation? I mean, I've always wondered how hard it is to stay focused in those situations.
You know, you'd be surprised. A lot of times I'm focused on the hitter, but you know, there'll be a few times when my mind will wander, maybe pick out someone in the stands or check out and see what my wife and kids are doing up there, you know, what they're doing up there in the seats or what my family's doing up there, but...
You ever yell, stop it! Stop hitting your brother!
There's times where I wanted to, but I don't think they'd hear me. But, you know, I think every pitcher does, you know, crazy things like that.
Do you hear the crowd when they start going crazy? I mean, does that make a palpable difference in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, at home, you know, it's a little bit easier, but, you know, on the road, you know, when the crowd gets really loud, you know, on the mound, there's times where your ears are ringing out there, and sometimes I'll just step off the mound, walk off the mound, the crowd will usually boo, and then you get back on the mound, and it's a little quieter after that.
Dan, I was excited when I heard that you were the guy we were going to be able to talk to from the Angels, because you're a Southern California guy, born and raised in Southern California, played baseball for Pepperdine. Tell me about your early experiences, either with going to Dodgers or Angels games. How early on did you become a fan of those teams?
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, I was a fan of both teams growing up. I grew up in West Covina. And, you know, went to Bishop Amat High School, then, like you said, Pepperdine University. And, you know, I grew up going to both games, you know, the Angels. I was probably a little bit closer being in West Covina, so went to a few more Angel games. But, you know, any chance I had, my dad would take me out there, a lot of ball games, and just, you know, wanted me to be around the game.
Did you know when you were a little kid that you were going to be a baseball player?
No, absolutely not.
Didn't.
I mean, it didn't even become reality, like, being able to play pro ball probably till sophomore in college. And then, you know, you get letters from Major League Baseball teams saying that they're interested in drafting you. So until that point, I never really thought of it as a career. And then even when I got drafted, the chances of a player making it to the big leagues when you get drafted is so slim. And then, you know, to stick around, now this is my ninth year, to stick around this long, you know, I've really been blessed, you know, with good health.
I think that's you hit on a great point there, Dan. I think that's something that most people don't realize, how unbelievably difficult it is to go from either college or minor leagues into the professional of any sport. I mean, the percentage of guys that make it is so tiny, and then to make it and succeed and have a long career, this has to just be beyond anything you ever could have imagined.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe how many things just happened in my favor to get where I am today. I mean, you know, unfortunately for those people, there were, you know, maybe an injury or two. You know, I've been traded three times, and the first time I was traded to the Oakland A's, and really they gave me an opportunity to pitch, and a lot of times that's what guys need, is just that opportunity. But, you know, there could be a logjam, or, you know, say if you were a first baseman in our organization, you got Albert Pujols at first base for 10 years, you know, good luck getting to the big leagues.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and speaking of Pujols, tell me what a difference it has made this last couple of weeks. I mean, what has he hit? Five homers in the last eight games or something like that? I mean, he's just doing everything that you hoped he would do when you got him. It's like they flipped a switch on him. It took him a few weeks to kind of get acclimated to the league and acclimated to the new city and the new ballpark. But, I mean, God, it must be so much fun right now seeing what he's doing for you.
Especially when I'm pitching and he's hitting home runs. That's the best. but, you know, I think he was just pressing, to be honest with you. I mean, the talent is obviously there, and you know, you're not just one of the greatest baseball players of all time. You just lose it. So, I think he was just pressing. He was trying to do too much. You know, the team was scuffling in general, and now, you know, as he's gotten going, the team has gotten going, and, you know, that's not coincidence. I mean, he's carried us, and I think everyone else in the lineup has just kind of settled down. Obviously, like Mark Trumbo is having an all-star caliber year. We got a bunch of young guys, Mike Trout, Peter Boyd, just all of them having good years. So, you know, it's actually a fun, really fun team to watch, and, you know, you could tell that's why the fans are coming out.
Hey, Bean, tell Dan your heartwarming story about your beautiful Memorial Day weekend and how it went for you.
Dan, you're hurting me, brother. Listen, I live in Seattle, all right? I've been living here for 13 years, Dan, so I am a diehard Mariners fan. And I was getting pretty excited because our team sucks this year, but we, you know what, took 2 out of 3 against the Rangers. We swept the Indians. I was like, this is awesome. Now Anaheim's coming in and they suck. Well, you swept all 4 games. And you, in particular, you put the knife in my heart, man, because this is what Dan did. First of all, how many did you strike out against the Mariners? 15, I think it was? 14? Something like that?
Yeah, 14.
All right. He strikes out 14. Complete game shutout, Kevin. So I'm begging, I'm yelling at my camera, get the guy off the mound. Send him out of there, right? 8th inning, he's throwing like 100 pitches. He comes back. 9th inning, he's like 110, 120. You would not give up that ball. You had to stay in there and milk every single pitch and make sure it hurt as bad as possible. One guy beat the Mariners that night, and it was you, Dan Heron.
Yeah, well, I mean, you say the Angels stunk. I mean, I think it's the Mariners that stink, to be honest.
That's correct.
Oh, you're absolutely right. But here I was thinking we were turning it around. I thought the Angels were going to be the team. Now we're on a roll. We're going to take 4 from those guys, and now we're back in the hunt. And instead, it was the exact opposite. We were the team you needed to get back on off the schneid. Oh my God,
that.
It hurt though.
For that. Thank you.
Now it is. It's been fun. It's so much fun to see how well the Dodgers are doing, how well the Angels are both doing this year, and that's why this freeway series is going to be great too. June 11th through the 13th at Dodger Stadium. And again, you like the Farmer John Facebook page, you get a chance to win a VIP day at the ballpark and work out on the field with Dan Heron. Dan, it's awesome. We got a chance to talk to you, man. Continue success this season. We'll do it again. All right.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah. Woo! Come on now. There we go. That's all I needed. Just a little music to get me going.
All right.
Congratulations to Mel Brooks and David Lynch. It's been announced today the American Film Institute plans to honor both of them with a doctorate of fine arts degrees. I'm going to give them to both filmmakers for their contribution of distinction to the art of the moving image.
Holy!
And for his recording work. Yeah.
David Lynch.
Maybe
this is their way to try to get him to start making movies again and stop making records. We really like your movies, Dave.
Make some more of those.
What about my music? No, the movies are great. We'd love to see more movies, Dave. But I have Crazy Clown Time out. Lynch, of course, best known for his work Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, Wild at Heart, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk with Me, Dune.
It's all left up stuff, but fun.
Mel Brooks, one of the funniest people in the world, gave you Young Frankenstein, The Producers, Blazing Saddles. Here's the funny thing is, you never think of these two guys crossing paths, but they actually worked together when Mel Brooks produced the 1980 film The Elephant Man about the guy with elephantitis.
Really? Oh.
And David Lynch was the director of that film. So these guys are actually buddies, and they're both winning, so congratulations to them.
Well deserved.
Yes. While we're talking about movies, I have a bone to pick, and I know people who know people. I'm going to try to get a hold of this gentleman because there needs to be a reckoning.
Okay.
There needs to be some responsibility held.
Who needs to be held accountable?
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth.
We
Eli
love Roth. Eli Roth.
No, we don't love Eli Roth.
We don't. We're off of him?
Yes, because he's announced his next film is a movie called The Green Inferno, a movie about cannibalism. When a group of idealistic students and naive do-gooders are captured by cannibalistic Indios after their plane crash lands in the Peruvian jungle.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffers.
You know what this movie isn't?
What?
If you just give me just a second, we could have set up that clip. It isn't Thanksgiving!
This holiday season.
Oh, sorry. You could see it coming, Kevin.
No, he couldn't.
I could.
It was stunning. This movie isn't Thanksgiving. This movie sounds wonderful, but you know what it isn't? Thanksgiving.
We really do want that movie made.
No, we don't want that movie made. We insist on that movie being made. And to make matters worse, Eli Roth said last year, oh, we're making that movie.
Yeah, he did. He lied.
We're making that script now. We're writing that script. It's going to happen Thanksgiving, coming next year, coming to a theater near you, Thanksgiving.
you'll come home.
Good point.
Not the Green Inferno.
In a good body point. Bag.
Green Inferno can wait. You know what can't wait?
This year, there will be no leftovers.
I really need control of my own audio. It's really a demand I've been making for years, and I'm going to have to put my foot down. Because it's like working in a war.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
Some sort of rehab facility for the developmentally disabled. With
look.
With Abbott and Costello on that side of the room, you never know what you're going to get. You really don't.
Ralph.
But you know you won't get it on time. That much you do know.
How lucky were you to have your showbiz music start playing? How lucky was I to even get my microphone on?
We're doing the best we can, man.
I doubt that. I really do.
Overruled.
And Kim Kardashian wants to speak with you.
Who?
I'm sorry.
For the holidays in a body bag.
Porn star Kim Kardashian. I heard LaQuisha highlighting this week's episode of Keeping Up the Kardashians for you guys. One clip she didn't play, which I was hoping she would, was a random conversation had between Kim and her two younger sisters, Chlamydia and Koala, where they're just driving, and Kim says, "Have you ever eaten Indian food?" And one of the other girls says, "No, disgusting." And then Kim Kardashian goes, "Yeah, disgusting, right?" And then they cut to something else. It has nothing to do, it's not germane to any part of the episode. It's just a random conversation. Well, now there's people up in arms.
Oh, dear.
And so now a press release.
God.
A press release has come from Kim Kardashian. Please allow me to read to you the press release entitled, "Just Want to Clear Something Up." So on this week's episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I said that I thought Indian food was disgusting. In no way was this intended as to an insult to the Indian people or their culture. This is just my own personal taste. There are a lot of foods I don't like. I hate cilantro and peppers. And there are definitely some Armenian foods that I personally find disgusting. That doesn't reflect my opinions on other Armenian people or my culture. My comment wasn't intended to offend anybody. We all have our own opinions and tastes, and I was simply expressing mine. Kim Kardashian.
Anybody who takes her opinion seriously needs to seriously look at themselves.
P.S. One thing I really do like is black penis.
She said that?
Yeah, so it's a weird press release. So
here
anyway.
We go! It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
So if there were any Indian Americans who are upset with Kim Kardashian, please, please accept her forgiveness. Or extend your forgiveness to her. Accept her apology. Arsenio Hall! The people love him.
They sure that. Do.
Ooh.
You're just going to do your own now.
Safer, Lisa. He's getting his own talk show. Apparently, his work on Celebrity Apprentice was so impressive. Networks now are fighting over having him do a talk show for them.
I had him 5 months ago.
I was very impressed with him.
Could have had him 5 years ago.
That's true. I was very impressed with him on Celebrity Apprentice. I didn't watch the whole season, but I had not seen him on my TV in many years, and he seemed very smart, very funny, articulate, insightful. I think he's got a lot to offer.
Wow. You want to ask him out for dinner?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying I was...
Ooh! Arsenio Hall is here. Uh-huh. Looking good.
I'm impressed.
Woo, looking good.
CBS is talking to him, according to The Hollywood Reporter, about a daytime talk show. That means he would be joining a lineup of Jeff Probst's new talk show, Dr. Phil, and a show called The Doctors.
Overruled!
With Arsenio Hall bringing up the rear, so to speak. So
I wish we could talk to him. Wish we could have him on.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Life's full of little disappointments.
People in hell want ice water.
A lot of people want a lot of things, I know.
That's right.
How's the guy been making a living for the last 20 years?
What's it this holiday season.
Well, we have not even talking about this anymore. Madonna starts her tour tomorrow in Tel Aviv. That's in Israel.
Right.
She's been in rehearsals for her upcoming MDNA world tour. That's short for Madonna, MDNA.
Is it?
Yes. And she is in rehearsals. Someone snuck into one of her rehearsals and pulled some video of her working on her song Express Yourself, which of course was a hit for her in 1989. Now, some people had said Lady Gaga's song Born This Way was a ripoff of Express Yourself.
Oh, that's absurd.
It is absurd. However, maybe Madonna thinks there's some truth to that, since apparently she has worked that song into a medley with her own. Here's a little clip of her rehearsing.
Hey.
clip if you watch it online. She sings, and I'm not kidding, she sings, "I'm not her, I'm not her, I'm not her," over and over again. So I guess she's trying to send a message. Katy Perry's single again. Oh, Katy Perry.
I got next.
Star Magazine reports that she's already split up with Robert Aykroyd from Florence and the Machine, the guitarist for that band, because their schedules are so hectic they just can't find any time together. So I guess better to be apart than to be longing for one another in the distance. I feel sad for her. Quick correction. I mentioned the story earlier today about Francesca Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's daughter.
Yes.
Having to deal with death threats on her Facebook and Twitter page over an online video that she shot, a art statement of her destroying a high-priced designer bag called a Birkin. I misquoted this statement that said they can go for about $4,500. The bag she destroyed in the video was a $100 purse that she destroyed.
Oh.
Nope. Try it again.
It was not one. I'm sorry, $100,000 purse.
Oh, yeah. What?
I'm sorry. No.
You said $4,000. It was $100.
I said $4,500. What I meant to say
what?
Was $100,000 oh. purse was what she cut in half and set on fire. Taunting people with, "Would you want this bag? Are you sad to see me destroy it?" The video showed her destroying the bag, and people are upset, reportedly, because it's a $100,000 purse.
It does seem excessive.
Not a $4,500 purse.
This is like the people who are first in line to get the new iPad and then put a YouTube video up of them destroying it within 5 minutes.
I suppose.
Just to kind of rub
bitch
it
got
in.
No class.
So she is still getting death threats.
Well,
people say, "You're a stupid whore. How effing dumb can you be? You should kill yourself, ungrateful whore."
That just means you have way too much money.
And no purse should cost that much.
Maybe that's
that
her point.
It's
like, this is ridiculous consumerism, materialism at its worst.
It's not worth that.
This is a purse. Look how easily it can be destroyed, how it can be set on fire. It is so disposable, and yet they have the gall to ask $100,000 for this piece of fabric.
Yeah.
Did her dad have a statement on the incident?
No.
It's too bad.
No, he didn't.
That would have been funny.
No. I know you do a good impression of him. No, so
I wish he had said something.
That's a bummer.
Because then we could have found out. But
all right.
We can call him tomorrow. Maybe we'll see if he has something to say.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
That was his statement.
I want to see Thanksgiving.
Today's celebrity birthday, CeeLo Green. Paddles his way to 38 years today. Congratulations, CeeLo. Tom Morello of Audio Slave and Rage Against the Machine. He is 48 years old. Kevin Eastman, comic book artist and co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, celebrates his 50th birthday. And actor Ted McGinley, unfairly called the series killer by some.
Bean.
He has appeared
Not
in
me.
The final seasons of Married with Children and Happy Days and Love Boat and Hope and Faith. He is 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have, hopefully we're trying to get Dave Koechner, who's going to be on the show.
He's the Keck.
He's in Piranha 3DD.
Oh, that looks so good.
That comes out Friday.
And Anchorman 2. He's starting
Anchorman
to work
2.
On that soon. Right. Yeah.
Anna Klumsky from Veep.
Chomsky.
I'm sorry, did I say that wrong?
Yep.
Chomsky. And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
That's all tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.